What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Friday, February 20th.
Well, this is the What Really Happened Network. Sorry, Mike Rivero won't be with us until Monday. This is Ryan Dawson filling in. I've filled in these big shoes before, and we're going to go at it again. There's a lot of things to explain in the news recently. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Ukraine quite a bit to tell you what really happened, because the lies about Ukraine are happening every day. It seems like they move the goalposts every time they get caught in one lie. They never acknowledge it. They just move over to the next new thing and lie about that. And there is complete social media complicity with this, along with the three-letter networks. In fact, even Fox would give you a more accurate, and this is relative, portrayal of what's going on than Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. They have the same policies that they had on the election, the Hunter Biden laptop, and you can keep adding things ad nauseum to that of things you're not allowed to say on the Twitter, Facebook, YouTube-osphere. And as predicted, YouTube has gone the direction that I believe Mike Rivero said, I've said myself and many others, where they started banning people like me and Mike, kicked us off of YouTube. I got that back in 2008 even. And then they started going after libertarians, anti-war folks, and then conservatives in general, and then anybody that questioned COVID-1984 and the Branch Covidiots. And we said, the anti-war left is next. And they were. They have removed Chris Hedges from YouTube, Abby Martin, Lee Camp, and other left-wing but not crazy, like real... We shouldn't call them all leftists. And the same thing goes for the right. I mean, there's neocons and there's Republicans and there's the radical left. And I guess the regular left, there's not much of those, but there's nothing left on YouTube. Nothing. A couple comedians, if you couch it in comedy, you survive a little bit longer, but everybody is getting booted. The censorship is here. And now it's not just a few of us. It's not just like a Dr. Duke or something like that, or a Nick Fuentes. Now it's Chris Hedges. And then Twitter has labeled George Galloway as like a Russian informant or something like this. They're saying George Galloway, British MP, whose show, by the way, is out of Britain. It's just, I think Sputnik paid for a license to rebroadcast it or whatever. But because Sputnik is from Russia, they decided, well, then anything on George Galloway's show is Russian propaganda, according to Twitter, who's gotten everything wrong they've ever labeled as misinformation. What they ought to say is things we don't like you to say. It's not fact-checking. Has nothing to do with the truth. It's, this goes against the government narrative. And they are talking to the Pentagon saying, and they were talking to Dr. Fauci about the Fauci virus too. Whatever the subject is, they go straight to the authoritative source in their head, and no dissident voices are allowed. It is not about free speech. It is not a public square. And the government will do absolutely nothing about it. They're not enforcing antitrust laws. They're not breaking them up. They're doing nothing but losing, which is that's how we ended up with a geriatric president and a vice president who will go down in the annals of history as surpassing Douglas Fife in the dumbest person we've ever met. Kamala Harris gave us these epic speeches like, Russia is a big country. Ukraine is a smaller country in Europe. And Russia invaded Ukraine, and basically that's bad. Followed by cackles. I don't know what drugs this woman is on, but I feel like she's had this Ellen DeGeneres style attack on all her staff, so they've quit. So she ends up giving speeches with nobody there to write them, and she's just as vapid as you could imagine. But these are the people we have to deal with. But after all, she had a brown vajayjay, and that's qualification enough in this woke era clown world of intersectionality, where we bestow positions, the highest in the land positions of power, according to a Supreme Court judge, including based on, you know, your gender, sex, and skin color, the direct opposite of what Martin Luther King wanted. And we are on a day off or so of the anniversary of his death when the FBI had him assassinated. So if you want a long version of that, there's an interview I did with Doug Valentine on the Martin Luther King assassination, if you're into conspiracies. And conspiracy should not be a dirty word, okay? There are definitely kook versions of certain conspiracies, but there's always some ground between the spooks and the kook. There's a middle ground of what really happened, which is why we have shows like this. And I feel privileged and honored that that RBN and Mike Rivero would choose me to fill in. Every time I do this, I feel a bit of praise, because without Mike Rivero, it would have been much harder for me to get to where I've gotten in the in my own career in media. And we've all faced the censorship. So one of the big items before the 2020 debates and election, if you can call it that, it's funny, we didn't have a debate on foreign policy, and now we're in verge of World War III, possibly. But hey, it's not important enough to talk about foreign policy. Let's talk about COVID, all three debates. And that's what they did. But one of the items that was brought up, showing quid pro quo, as well as showing interference, you know, from foreign governments, including communist Chinese and the kleptocrats in Ukraine, were their connections to Joe and Hunter and other Bidens. If you want to know all about the Biden crime syndicate, you can watch that on ancreport.com. Corn Pops Revenge. We went over it. We showed hours and hours of footage from the Hunter Biden laptop that was leaked out of China on BitChute. And it was nothing but utter denial, not only by Joe Biden, which you'd expect him to say that's Russian disinfo. That's their go-to thing. They're like Boris Berezovsky. If something bad happens, just say Russian conspiracy, right? It's the conspiracy the left will believe. Like, oh yeah, Russia, Putin, straight white male, Christian, that has to be evil. He's not. But that's not what happened. The Hunter Biden laptop is 100% real. And it's not just the laptop anymore. It's three laptops. But they suppressed that story. The New York Post covered it. Oldest newspaper in the land. They covered it. And what did Twitter do? They flagged it as disinfo. And anybody that was linking to BitChute, they, first of all, any video at all on BitChute on Twitter is flagged with a warning label, right? They were yanking it. You couldn't put it on YouTube. You couldn't put it on Facebook. You weren't allowed to use these sites for these things. But then we have the Washington Post and the New York Times, not that you should seek their validation, that these are the same newspapers, but they come out and verify the Hunter, at least the first Hunter laptop, the one that Giuliani had a copy of, the one that was left at a repair shop in Delaware, not the one they left in outside a jacuzzi in Las Vegas with Russian hookers. The first one. First of all, we shouldn't have to rely on the New York Times, who lied, you know, took people like Judith Miller and amplified their lies about the war in Iraq. Washington Post did the same thing. New York Times also had William Sapphire, who was another pre-war architect. And if there's a connection there, too, because Miller and Sapphire's lies were circled back, as Psaki would say. They circled through the Project for a New American Century's media outfit, the Weekly Standard, which was run by and founded by William Kristol and Robert Kagan. Well, that neocon Robert Kagan's wife is Victoria Nuland, who's now the Undersecretary of State under Anthony Blinken. What, my Zog whistle's going off there. And she's the one, of course, on the phone calls saying, F the EU, we're going to put in Yatsenyuk about the Maidan coup in Ukraine, where they installed hand-picked profiteers to be the new president of Ukraine. And that would later lead us to the Zelensky and Kolomoisky cult that ran Ukraine. it's all the same people, but Victoria Nuland just keeps failing upwards, right? Robert Kagan never punished. None of the PNAC people got punished. Miller was the only one that went to prison for a little while and then was out, and her sentence commuted. Libby got his sentence commuted by Bush the Lesser. Because there were never any consequences for the lies about the Iraq War and the architects for the second Iraq War, really you could say both Iraq Wars, and they both were lies. Now we have this conflict in Ukraine orchestrated by the same individuals. This isn't new, and it doesn't matter if it's Biden or Bush. You know, Obama already started this with the coup in Ukraine in 2014. That was the Obama-Biden administration. And when you say administration, what you're really talking about is this everlasting bureaucracy that you don't vote for, that never really changes their policies. Biden's just a cutout. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't even think he knows where he is half the time. And he's probably the most compromised president we've had since LBJ. And that's saying something. But that's what they want, and that's who they got in there. He was selected through mail-in votes, and Kamala just comes in automatically. You could have had Tulsi. That would have gotten all the checkbox as well, but, you know, she actually has a brain, so, you know, that's dangerous. Can't allow her in there. So we end up with Kamala Harris. That actually happened. We have Vice President Kamala Harris. I remember the news going so hard on Dan Quayle because he made a spelling mistake, which is hardly the measure of someone's intelligence. Like, it's lots of smart people can't spell well or whatever. But Dan Quayle actually was president pro temp for about 8 or 9 days when Bush Sr. passed out in Japan. And I remember watching the stock channel as stocks were going up a point and a half per day. Never seen the market rally like that. And you're wondering, what did Dan Quayle do? I'll tell you what he did. Nothing. He was afraid to make a decision, so he didn't do anything. And that was the best thing for the market ever. The government quit doing stuff, and everything just sailed. You can look it up. Look up when George Bush passed out. I think it was 93 or whatever, December or something, maybe. And then look up what the market was doing. It was booming because we didn't have the government in there making moronic trade deals and things. You know, we only once we had an outsider come in under Donald Trump, whatever you think about him. But within 4 years, we had energy independence. Now look what we have. Even before the Ukraine crisis, we had and still have a supply chain crisis. Rapid inflation and real numbers about 11% and unemployment at the same time with stagflation. They did this UBI mess with universal basic income with the COVID-1984. I just call it the Fauci virus because this thing was designed in Wuhan. Another thing you're not allowed to say, but there's physical evidence of it. I mean, they were doing gain-of-function research, which we used to call weaponization, on coronaviruses in Wuhan, paid for by Echo Health, who was paid by NIH. So that's the NIH through an intermediary doing gain-of-function research on coronaviruses in Wuhan. They put in spike proteins, a chimera virus, and three different things. That didn't happen in nature. That happened because of government. Big shock. Mike Rivera might say, imagine my lack of shock, right? That goes there, and then they create this pandemic, but the real pandemic wasn't even the virus. It was the overreaction to their virus where they decided to shut everything down, put on 2 masks, probably a butt plug, who knows, because they're scared of corona. And there are still some states suffering from that. Not Florida, but there's a lot of states in the U.S. and cities in the U.S. where you can't travel, you can't go anywhere. And even when the mandate was lifted, the businesses didn't do it anyway. They're running around double masked like freaks. The worst thing is how they masked up all the children. Your children are not in a risk category for COVID-19, even if they did get it. A small slice of them are in a risk category from the so-called vaccine, mRNA therapy, whatever you want to call it. And they're getting myocarditis and blood clots and all the rest of it, athletes dropping on the middle of the field. That just happened in the Carolina game against Kansas, the final game of the NCAA tournament, and one of Carolina's players had to hit the bench holding his heart. That just never happened in the past. I think it was Johnson, his name. That never happened before. Now you're having soccer players, football players, whatever you want to call it, cricket players, tennis players, just boom, pass out on the field out of the blue. What's going on? Well, they don't want to acknowledge it, and you're not allowed to. It's not like Pfizer or anybody's going to run to the front and go, yeah, those drugs we gave you, oops. But we're finding out now, people who get the jab, it suppresses your white blood cells for about a week or so. And so if you get COVID right after you get the jab, it's super dangerous. And so I hope and pray that these new cases where Pelosi has COVID now, or is COVID, did I say that wrong? Is she COVID or does she have COVID? It's hard to tell the difference with that woman. I hope she got it right after her booster, because that would make it the most deadly. This woman reminds me of Cruella DeVille, the lady that wanted to skin a bunch of puppies. She's up there drunk on the podium saying she wants to blow up some tanks. These vicious vultures, mostly from the State Department, Pelosi and a lot of people in Congress too, Adam Kinzinger, you know, who fell for the Ghost of Kiev, Sam Hyde troll, these morons wanted to institute a no-fly zone in Ukraine, which echoes Hillary's plan of a no-fly zone in Syria, which translates to shoot down Russian planes, a.k.a. World War III. They're arrogant enough to think they win that handedly, and they wouldn't. You're seeing it now, despite the echo chamber and what Karl Rove call it, the message force multipliers, as we used to say, where they just keep repeating the same garbage in the Twitter sphere. Ukraine is getting wrecked in this war. They have no navy. They've lost 90% of their air force. They're getting wasted on the ground because they're out of fuel. They're almost out of ammo. And they're low on food. They're looting their own citizens to get things. And you wouldn't know that if all your coverage is coming from TV, or worse, Twitter. But it, no matter how much they lie about it, it's not going to change the outcome. And this is one of the first times that, I don't want to get Mike in trouble, I'll just call it the Empire, that the Empire has lost. They're taking an L on this one. And this isn't a loss like Afghanistan or Vietnam or something. That was on purpose. That was a W. They weren't trying to, quote, win in Vietnam. They got 9 years of MIC profiteering and killed 2 million people versus 55,000. Most of that 55,000 were expendables, minorities and white Southerners that they didn't care about, wanted to die anyway. That was just a win-win situation for Bell Helicopter and the CIA's heroin industry. Afghanistan, again, opium and heroin industry took a big W, 20 years of profiteering, botched the ending by pulling the military out before the civilian infrastructure, but it's not like Afghanistan invaded the U.S. or anything. It's like, there's a difference between not winning and losing. This event in Ukraine isn't not winning. It's worse. It's losing. They've lost so bad, and you're going to see, and I'm going to talk about this after the break, because I think a break's coming up, and I don't want this to come in the middle, but these biolabs in Ukraine were doing research on coronaviruses and anthrax and avian bird flu and worse. Gain-of-function research, as Dr. Fauci would say. And I hope Rand Paul will not let this die, because it seemed like, oh, COVID, we hadn't heard about that in a while. Putin killed that one. No, they need their comeuppance on this. They cannot just slide into the next new thing and ignore 2 years of worldwide abuse and lockdowns on everybody. Hell no. They need to be held responsible. And we'll talk about the biolabs. I'm going to bring in a guest right after the break. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail when the banksters all need to be.
Al, welcome back. This is Ryan Dawson filling in for Mike Rivero. We're going to be talking about Ukraine. I have a guest coming very soon. I wanted to talk a bit more about Kolomoisky and Hunter Biden as I was talking about the bio labs, talking about the Hunter laptop. We have the Quid Pro Joe event. The thing that Trump was impeached for is what Joe Biden's actually guilty of. And that was his call to Ukraine. All of you have heard it. You've heard the audio where he is asking to get or demanding that the prosecutor be fired, who was looking into Burisma Holdings, which had hired his son. And then there's the infamous incident at the Council on Foreign Relations meeting where he reiterated the same thing. He's bragging about what he denied doing by saying, yeah, I had him fired, and well, son of a beep, they got him and they put someone in who was solid. He's not just protecting Hunter Biden. He was protecting Ihor Kolomoisky, which is one of these Jewish oligarchs that selected the Jewish president, Zelensky, and the Jewish prime minister, and then had himself appointed as a governor. This is the guy that owns Burisma Holdings. So there is a direct connection between Zelensky and Kolomoisky with Hunter Biden through Burisma Holdings. And it took some digging, and you just... bear with me for this on how this guy does this. He had a couple cutouts from Cyprus and the Virgin Islands hiding the way he owned this through the Privat Group. But we had a company called Perry LLC and an Esko Pivich, which they own the largest gas field extraction rights in Ukraine. That was controlled by Burisma Holdings, which is a Cypriot company. Burisma Holdings was taken over by an offshore company called Brocity Investments Limited. And then Perry and Esko Pivich moved their headquarters to Kiev with a third company in the same building. We'll call it Urknaf, which is a gas and oil production company. So they've got the fields and the extraction rights and the production rights. They own on both ends, like a Zaibatsu. Okay. Urknaf is also owned by a secret company called Derpion Commercial Limited, which is run out of a cutout in the Virgin Islands from a company called Buron Financial Corporation, which some of you Epstein researchers probably remember from that. Buron was an orbiter of the Privat Bank, and the CEO of Urknaf, his name was Oleg, he confirmed the real owners of Urknaf. Perry and Esko Pivich was the Privat Group, which means Ihor Kolomoisky. That is the owner of the largest reserves of natural gas in Ukraine. That is Burisma's boss. So not only was Joe protecting Hunter, he was protecting Kolomoisky, the same guy who owns the 1+1 Media Group, which was the outfit that pushed the television show Servant of the People, starring our green screen drama queen, President Zelensky himself, who played the role of president. And now he's still playing the role of president because the Azov battalion in the military there, nobody listens to him anyway. But the purpose of having this comedy show was so Kolomoisky could put all these thugs on his payroll and just say, oh yeah, that's he's a comedy writer. Well, he's the assistant director, blah, 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 blah. It's just way of divvying out money legally and saying, oh, well, he wrote this joke, and that was worth this amount. But I will point this out. You have the president of the United Jewish Community of Ukraine, the president of the European Council of Jewish Communities, and the founder of the European Jewish Union, with the help of Jewish neocons like Victoria Nuland and Anthony Blinken, who installed a Jewish president and a Jewish prime minister, and then appointed himself, Kolomoisky, a Jew, and another Jewish billionaire as governors to different regions of Ukraine, because this is all about Nazis. Mm-hmm. But hey, you're not allowed to talk about Zionists. You just, you got Alex Jones your way through and just scream about NWO, Illuminati, Globalist, Freemason, Lizard Wizards, or whatever, but this isn't a Presbyterian problem. It's also not a Jewish problem. The Zionists don't care about Jews. It is just a theme they can use so that when they're criticized, they can yell anti-Semite. This is a clique that only cares about themselves, and at the core of them is not Judaism, it's not Jewish culture, it's not an ethnic group. It is personal, private, commercial interest, and that's all they're about. And these Kolomoisky people, the banks, the third largest bank in Ukraine, the media, it's all Zionist. They've got deep blackmail in the United States. You would also know from the Epstein ring. You would know that from before. We've talked about AIPAC endlessly on this show, how the media is run. All the major media bosses in the United States are Zionist Jews. And it is part of this global clique. And so that's what covers up this research in biolabs. That's what's covering up the quid pro quo, the money laundering, the sex trafficking. Jean-Luc Burnell, Epstein's number three guy, ran a modeling agency out of Kiev and got money through Kolomoisky's goons to provide young white Ukrainian girls to go be trapped in brothels in Israel and forced into sex work. So when we come back, I will have the guest on to talk about the Buka.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Hello, hello, aloha. Mike used to say when he lived in Hawaii. I could say konnichiwa or maybe ohayou gozaimasu, since it is 5:30 in the morning Japan time. This is Ryan Dawson hailing out of Japan, filling in temporarily for Mike Rivero. He will be back on Monday. We got a PhD in history coming on the second hour. You know him as Dr. Duke, who actually lived in Russia and Ukraine. He'll be coming in later. I have a Norwegian guest, we'll just call the Varg, coming to talk about the most recent atrocity, fear porn out of Ukraine, which is this very disturbing Bucha massacre. And by the way, if you want to know more about the biolabs and the Hunter connections with Kolomoisky and stuff, you can check out our Substack, which I'll try to get linked on WRH later. I've written intensively about all of that with Black and Veatch and the contracts that were going on. We name names. There's nothing vague on that's how Dawson reports are on ANC. We always name everybody and go into the detail. If you're familiar with our 9/11 work or Epstein work, and you know just how deep we dive and deep we dig into these things. That's all on Substack. It would be way too long to go over, even with a two-hour show. So let me bring in Varg. Let's see if you're there. Chime in.
I'm here.
Hello. All right, excellent. So it has been lie after lie in Ukraine with the ghost of Kiev, the supermodel with the machine gun, the pickle jar taking out a drone, footage from video games that they passed off as real. And it doesn't seem to faze them, and it doesn't seem to faze the Reddit crowd, some of who went over there and got clapped. But the most recent thing is a real atrocity that has been solely blamed by the Zionist media on the Russians, and that is the massacre, which they call a genocide. I'll say it's a massacre, which is bad enough, in Bucha. And yet, as these things go, 24 to 48 hours later, info always seems to come in and debunk the narrative coming from the ever so honest White House and the resident ginger who denied inflation, and the lies never end. So in Bucha, can you go through maybe a timeline of what they said versus what really happened?
Yeah, so in Bucha, the Russians withdrew on March 30th. And on March 31st, the Bucha mayor, Anatoly Fedoruk, did a video announcing that the Russians had left. And he was elated and quite joyous in his announcement. And Ukraine armed forces, some weird faction of the Ukraine armed forces, entered on April 1st, namely the Botsman boys.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the mayor say anything about the massacre? He was just saying, hooray, they're gone. He didn't notice bodies all over the road.
Yes, he seemed very happy. No mentions of any massacre or any atrocity. And he just said, they're gone, and we are liberated, basically.
No babies on incubators or Death to America, Death to Israel notes on the ground, nothing like that?
No, it was a very It was weird. And he also mentioned Slava Ukraina, which means he's a team player.
Right.
But the Botsman boys entered on April 1st. And then on April 2nd, there were these claims of atrocity. Now, it's important to know the context here, because Zelensky, under martial law, has suspended 11 opposition parties, including the biggest one, a Platform for Life. And he also signed a decree to unify all the media in Ukraine. And
That's very democratic of him.
Yeah, a fantastic Democrat. And in Bucha, while all of this happened, including the Russian occupation, they had cell phone reception. And the Russians claim that in Bucha and other Kyiv-adjacent villages and towns, they distributed 450 tons of humanitarian assistance. Now, for the Botsman boys, it's important to know the leader of the Botsman boys is Sergei Korotik, or Maluyuta, who's a fugitive from Russia because he did some pretty heinous stuff. He's suspected of having beheaded a Dagestani man and also killed a Central Asian man. And he was also a suspect in a bombing in a square in Moscow.
From Belarus originally, right?
No, he's actually, the source I have is that he's a Russian native, but he was a Belarusian citizen.
Uh-huh.
And he's been involved in neo-Nazi groups, all over Russia and Belarus.
Oh, hooray. What a guy.
he didn't stop causing trouble when he got to Ukraine, and he was granted a citizenship by a special order from Petro Poroshenko, because he has been suspected of being involved in an attack on Petro Poroshenko later. So it's quite the complicated situation.
Well, he ends up leading a military unit.
Yes.
And the safari crew went in there too, not to be confused with the safari club, but which is just another far right sector type of Nazi group going in with the Botsman boys, village to village, kicking in doors, looting, And you can see the desperation in Ukraine when they're saying they're winning the war online and then they're letting out their prisoners to fight, killing collaborators, in their mind, collaborators, and begging for tanks and planes because they're winning.
Yeah, well, it's also important to note that it is from the Bossman boys that we get a specific video in which they're patrolling the streets and a soldier asks Bossman, can I shoot the ones without the blue armbands too?
And he explain says, the armband thing for anyone who might not know.
Okay. So in Ukraine today, people use armbands to identify themselves as civilians. But if you use a blue armband, that means you're a Ukrainian patriot. If you use a white armband, that presumably means you're you're friendly towards Russia. And if you have no armband, you're just neutral. So this is evidence of them shooting even neutral civilians, and shooting civilians in war is illegal, no matter what side they are sympathetic to.
Well, they made that cloudy when Zelensky started passing out rifles and Molotov cocktails to civilians and telling them they have to fight.
Yes, and
so this also is a way of them saying, "No, I'm not doing that. I have an armband. I don't care what Zelensky said." For at least fighting age males. Because they're all fair game.
Yeah, basically, if you are between the age of 16 to 60, there is no excuse for you not resisting the occupation. When the Bossman boys released this video online, we might think, that seems weird. Why would he release incriminating evidence on himself as he's patrolling the streets? But you have to understand that what they're instituting in Ukraine with the suspending of all the political opposition parties and the unifying of the media into one channel, they're implementing a terror regime. And there is evidence of this all over the web. If you know where to look, there's people being glad-packed to light posts, being painted blue in the face, being beaten. And anyone who is not resisting or yes. not on board with this regime is paying the price in form of physical punishment.
I've seen some of the most horrible videos. There was a woman, they stripped off her clothes. Her pants were still around her ankles, but she was naked otherwise. And then they just started kicking her in the face. And her nose was bleeding, and she's like shivering in fear. Because they're just putting the boots to her. They cut her hair off, and then the little stub that was on the back, they set on fire with a lighter. They made her put her hand on a stone and then choose another stone and hand it to the officer, who then smashed and broke her hand. Then they painted her face like dark blue or black. I'm colorblind, so I don't know. But they put some like mud type stuff on her face and tied her naked to a pole. And you are seeing, and they're saying, oh yeah, you're a looter or whatever. That's not it. They are going after ethnic Russians, and they're going after what they call quote-unquote collaborators. And anybody that took Russian aid, which they're going to take, regardless of what they think, if you're hungry, if you have kids, you're going to take the aid, we're getting shot. And from what I saw in the dozen or so bodies in the street, and we have to separate this from the mass grave at the church. I can explain what that was in a second. But the bodies in the street did not look days old. They look like fresh kills. They're all wearing white armbands, and they're all fighting age males. There's no women. There's no children. It's all men of age with a white armband on, some of whom have been positioned next to Russian rations, like those green boxes. Now, there's no way someone's just walking around outside on the road with a box of rations that they got days ago or as far back as the 19th. That had been it. That was something placed next to them and as a message to say, do not take aid from the enemy. And if you are a fighting age male and you're taking aid from the enemy, we will shoot you dead. That seems to be the terror campaign the Bossman and Bossman boys are putting out, shooting anybody that doesn't have a blue armband, signifying there with the Ukrainian resistance. The media took this story of all these dead bodies because it got out anyway, and the only choice they had was spin it and say the Russians did it. but the evidence is not adding up. As you said, you talked about the that mayor's video, and then there's video evidence of the armbands and the rations that's been put out. Are there any other anomalies or weird points about the Buka massacre?
Well, the one weird thing is that the UN Security Council, the presidency of the Security Council is now with the United Kingdom, and Russian media is reporting that Russia requested to have a meeting on Buka, and the UK said no. So they do not want a independent, impartial investigation of the events.
And no forensic evidence has really been done.
Yeah.
There have been in other towns, like similar, where you find dead civilians, hands tied behind their back, wearing a white armband. And there's been beatings of these people and torture, really, breaking their hands, whipping them nude onto posts, total humiliation. And they've even done this to some children.
Yes, and it would be weird if all of these killings could happen to what appeared to be, if to people who know the conflict, friendly civilians by Russians in a town with cell phone reception, without any videos being released or any cries for help on social media.
Yeah, that's been available the whole time. And
yes.
In fact, but there are some recorded phone calls of them saying that the Ukrainian army came in here, kicked in all the doors and looting. We heard gunshots. They said, don't worry, we're doing a cleansing. And they said that themselves, didn't they? It was in the newspapers even, saying that they were going to kill the collaborators.
Well,
that was the stated goal before they went into Buka.
Yes, and there has been widespread reporting, even in the New York Times, about the level of paranoia in Ukrainian society right now, where they're killing people on mere suspicion of being a Russian saboteur, and if they suspect, or if when they enter a town, they will talk to the mayor. The mayor will tell them, okay, this guy traded eggs for a ration, and suddenly the Botsman boys have a list, and then they go around the town, or this is like how I presume it would work. Then they go around the town, and then they punish the collaborators, but mostly just the men.
Yeah, because they're like, why aren't you fighting with us?
Seems
to be their attitude there, which is a message to all the other males out there. You better get with the program, or if we get into your territory, we will kill you. We saw that over and over again in Mariupol, which is now pretty much liberated. I guess they were hitting the last steel mill full of Azov Italian Nazis this morning, Japan time, or about an hour before I did the show. They were finishing that off. That completes the land bridge between Crimea and the rest of Russia. And everybody coming out of there saying, we were being shot at by Ukrainian forces. They did not want them to join the humanitarian corridor, which is a common thing. Because when you allow a humanitarian corridor, what's to stop some of these Ukrainians in the army second-guessing themselves and just putting on civilian clothes, throwing their gun down and leaving? And it causes deserters. And so what the hardcores had to do, the ones who can't do that because they have swastika tattoos and stuff, and they're going to be stopped at a checkpoint and shot unceremoniously, they start shooting at their own. You can't leave. And they shot at civilians too. One piece of propaganda was a woman who was horribly raped and branded in the basement of a building they controlled, and the media posted her swastika corpse around and blamed that on Russians, said they raped and burned her and put a swastika on her stomach. What would be the point? You know, like in this PR war, you're bringing in humanitarian corridors and rations and food, and then you're going to gang rape and leave a corpse in a basement. Doesn't fit with their other lie about mobile crematoriums. Well, if you got dozens of bodies outside, throw them in your mobile crematoriums, but they can't do that when those don't exist and they're not the ones shooting the civilians. That's been Botsman and Azov and others. This whole war is nothing but lies, but there is no there's no real way other than shows like this to get the news out. RT's been banned. Sputnik's been banned. Their Telegram, they weren't banned by Telegram, but on the Telegram channel, when the last corners of free speech on the web, states started banning RT, saying they can't have a channel on Telegram. And Germany wanted to ban Telegram outright, which is amazing.
Yes, it's very weird to watch the media because you'll get Pentagon officials, unnamed, of course, when they lie. They always never reveal their name, claiming the Russians have... the Russians have lost 40,000 soldiers in this conflict and that they're losing badly, but that Ukraine also needs really badly MiGs and Javelins and tanks.
Oh, that Javelin commercial, right? They were trying to do the Javelin like they did the Patriot missile commercial, the first Gulf War. And then there's a 40-kilometer column of tanks that pretty much goes, oh, your Javelins are taking out tanks. Here's a long column, miles long of tanks not blown up.
Yeah. I didn't understand why the Ukrainians just couldn't use the Javelins to be like Arminius in the Teutoburg forest and just go through the Russian lines.
But they can't reach the lines.
No. It's
we're talking about Germany banning Telegram. They're going to get hit hard by some of this economic fallout. And I know there's been a lot of focus on oil and gas, but I wanted to ask you about something, if you agree or not, but I see is greater detriment than gas and oil, and that's going to be grain and fertilizer.
Yes.
Share your two cents on this.
Well, yes, because Russia is the largest exporter of wheat, and Ukraine is the fifth largest. But they will struggle to get those that wheat to market if they're excluded from the world market, which means hunger in North Africa, all over the global South. Actually, there will be grain shortages. But there's also the problem that fertilizer is made in Russia, and a lot of it is made in Russia. And you have basically three types of fertilizer. You have phosphate-based fertilizer, you have ammonia-based fertilizer, and you have nitrogen-based fertilizer. And both ammonia and nitrogen is made from natural gas, and natural gas has risen in price up to doubled. But on the futures market, it's quadrupled. And that means that a ton of ammonia fertilizer, I think, has gone from $200 to $700. Yes.
And the dollar is now worth, what, 79 rubles or less, even 30, something like that.
The Russian ruble has recovered because... So we're looking at a disaster year globally, and it's going to be very bad. There's already instability in Peru over fuel prices. There has been strikes in Spain from both fishers and truckers over fuel prices. But
I can imagine the Canadian truckers will get angry again.
Oh, yes. but the more consequential effect will be when the system – the global trade system cannot bring people food, and it's going to be really bad. And the entire
that
world
could cause famine, which will cause refugees. We have a caller on the line, so I'll bring him in. You stay on too; we can both answer what they ask. It's Brad from Ohio. You're on line one.
Yeah, what's up, man?
How's it going?
I'd
rather
good.
Not talk about there. Global famines, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you start talking about Ukraine. And I thought I'd ask you, I asked the other talk show hosts, because I'm really curious. You know, I'm reading up on War News 247, TASS.com, RT.com, and then, of course, our media is saying the same thing almost, that they're, you know, our Congress and Senate passed an emergency act of some sort, but they're just going to send over a bunch of tanks or...
By voice vote just now in the Senate, they're making it easier for Biden to send arms in.
Here's my thing, and I'd like you to answer it the best way you can, is now if Putin knows you're coming in, why doesn't he just blow them up as they come in? I mean, so it doesn't matter. I don't understand if they're sending them to him. If he doesn't blow them up as they come in, I go, I don't think he wants to, like, well, let's get them after we get them. We'll have them put them in our little our army file. Explain that to me.
Here's the answer. They don't really care. This is just MIC profiteering. They don't care about Ukraine, and they don't care how effective this measure is. It's just something like, we got to do something. This is the same kind of hysteria that got mascots banned from food products if they were people of color after George Fentanyl was killed or died of a heart attack.
But Putin will blow them up.
Because, look, you can't reach them. They're getting enveloped in the East, right? What, as soon as they cross the border, how are they going to deliver tanks and armored vehicles? You can put them on a freight train. They'll blow that up. You can try to freight them in on large trucks. That'll get blown up. Or dumbest version is you try to drive them in across, the Polish border or whatever, and they're going to get blown up. And what they're sending is all obsolete, like two generation ago type weapons, T-72s and stuff like this, that just glow in the dark at night from infrared, and they're just going to get spiked as soon as the moment they cross the border. Bang! That's what's going to happen. Same with planes; they'd get S-400 out of the air as soon as they got into Ukrainian airspace. So it's not effective, but they don't care because the point is, how much do they cost? How much can we benefit from this? And I look good to my voters saying we tried to do something.
Well, all right, thanks. That was
a great answer.
Thing is, we already got a taste of this with all the foreign volunteers.
Yes.
They crossed the border.
You mean the Reddit army didn't make the difference?
Yeah, the Reddit volunteers got canceled by Putin.
Like within minutes, because these idiots are on they're addicted to their social media, and they're on their Twitter and InstaFace and stuff, which gave out their location, and they got spiked by artillery. Over 100 of them, boom, Brits, Americans, and whoever else was in there. And they're finding their gear, and they're like, oh, they're sending us to the line with only 10 bullets. That's because that's all they got. Russia has gone through and picked off the ammo and oil depots all over the country.
Yeah, and the city they were sending them to with only 10 bullets, and those were the lucky ones. Not every one of them actually got a kit or a rifle. They were supposed to go to Kyiv, which means that the Ukrainian armed forces prioritized the defense of Kyiv. But that's a whole nother story, what the purpose of partial surroundment or surrounding.
Yeah, I mean, they're preventing supplies from reaching the Eastern Army so they can do their development. We have another caller, Mike from Kentucky. Oh, wait. Well, after the break. Sorry. Commercials just creep up on you. They creep up on you like Biden sniffing your hair.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.